Over 2,000 years ago, Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash not so much due to faulty relationships that we had with Him, but more due to faulty relationships we had with one another. And every time around this year, Hashem looks down and He asks, "Has anything changed? Have you worked on your relationships with one another? Are you getting along better?" Anytime there's a pre-Tisha B'Av class, it tends to be on the topic of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro for this reason. I saw advertisements for the Chafetz Chaim Heritage's annual Tisha B'Av video, and I believe that this year the topic is going to be about Shalom. In years past, they've covered topics such as Avas Chesed, Ona'as Devarim, but really honing on in this Nekuda, the nekuda that we need to be misaking in order to be zocha for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So that's why I've chosen, as a pre-Tisha B'Av discussion, to talk about a topic that's also Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, more specifically about friendship. I want to share with you some ideas about just the Torah's perspective on friendship, the importance so we don't take this idea for granted, these people for granted, as well as a discussion about what we should look for in a friend, what is the sign of a real friendship. And as Rabbeinu Yonah says, the best way to really acquire friends is to be a good friend. So as much as we're thinking about these qualities in other people, we're also going to be cognizant, how can we reflect these ideas as well? So then we can also build a foundation of a friendship. So I want to begin with a Gemara in Tanis, which says a very powerful statement, "O chavrusa o misusa." Rava says this, "Give me a friend or give me death." And that seems very extreme, but we'll see in the following story how Rava came to this conclusion. So there was somebody by the name of Choni Hamagel, and there was a pasuk from Tehillim that really perturbed him. We say this pasuk all the time. We say it in benching. Sher hamalus b'shuv Hashem eshiv l'sion hayinu kecholmim. We talk about when Hashem brought back those who returned to Tzion after Galus Bavel. It was like a dream. And his issue with this pasuk was that Galus Bavel had been for 70 years. How can we compare that to a dream? Who sleeps for 70 years? Well, one day Choni Hamagel was walking along the road and he saw a man planting a carob tree. And Choni said to him, "How long is it going to take for that tree to produce fruit?" And the man said, 70 years. Now Choni asked him, "Will you be here in 70 years to eat this fruit?" The man already was an adult. He was already mature. And the man replied, he said, "Choni, when I was born into a world full of carob trees. Just as my ancestors planted for me, I'm going to plant for my descendants." Then Choni Hamagel sat down and he ate some bread, and then sleep overcame him. He felt extremely exhausted, and a cliff formed around him, says the Gemara. He disappeared from sight, and he slept for 70 years. When he woke up, he saw a man gathering caribs from the tree, and that man looked familiar. And Choni asked the man, "Are you the one who planted this tree?" And the man said, "Actually, I'm that planter's grandson." And Choni said, "Oh my gosh, I learned from this that I have slept for 70 years, right? There's fruit now. It must have been 70 years ago." And he saw that his donkey had sired several herds during those many years. So Choni went straight home. And he said to the members of the household, "Is the son of Choni Hamagel alive?" And they said, "No, but his grandson is alive." And Choni said to these people who were his family members, he said, "I'm Choni Hamagel." And they didn't believe him. And he went to the Beis Medrash and he overheard the Chachamim saying, "This Chacham's halachos are as enlightening and as clear as in the days of Choni Hamagel," because I suppose Choni would resolve any difficulties the Chachamim had, and he elucidated them very clearly. So Choni enters the Beis Medrash and he says, "I am he, I am Choni Hamagel, that Chacham you were just talking about." But they didn't believe him. They didn't pay him proper respect. Choni became very upset and he davened for Rachmanos, and Hashem took his neshama. And Rava said, from here we learn, O Chavrusa, O Misusa. We're used to, as Americans, being told, give me liberty or give me death. No, 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 this is different. This is give me friendship or give me death. Because one who has no friends, that's not life. Friends make the sweet times sweeter. And then the bitter times, times that we can endure, we can be resilient through. I saw a really beautiful vart about Sefer Tehillim being likened to a friend, right? We turn to Sefer Tehillim in times of joy and gratitude and happiness. We turn to Sefer Tehillim when our world is falling apart. And that kind of is a friend. You know, think about how you have time to celebrate. You have good news to share, some accomplishment, and you're reaching for your phone and you're inviting people over, right? Because we need those people in our lives for those moments, and we also need them for the difficult moments as well. There's a quote that friends multiply pleasure and friends divide sorrow. We see from Eov the similar idea that Rava had shared in that Gemara in Tanis about how friends are such an important aspect of our lives. Hashem told Eov, I'm going to take everything from you. And he did. Eov lost his wealth. He lost his flocks of sheep, his herds, his handlers, the servants. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and they were all feasting by Eov's firstborn. And then a wind came, and the house that they were in fell on the children, and they died. Eov lost his health. He was afflicted with boils. But Hashem said, Eov, even though I'm going to take everything from you, I'm not going to take your life. And we find that most of Sefer Eov is a discussion between Eov and his 3 friends, Eliphaz HaTemani, Bildad HaShuchi, and Sofar HaNaamosi. So what do we deduce from here? Hashem says to Eov, I'm going to take everything from you, but not your life. And Hashem took his wealth, took his family, took his health, but Hashem didn't take his friends. From here we deduce that our friends are our life. And our Chachamim tell us a little bit more about that story about Eov and his friends. You know, they were all across the globe when all the tragedies befell him, but they made it to be by his side, to hold his hand, to cry with him, to sit on the floor and mourn with him during his very difficult period in his life. Because eventually Hashem will restore everything to Eov. But during those tribulations, his friends were there to offer their love and support. So the question is, the Gemara in Baba Basra says that, like, how did all the friends know what had happened to Eov? It's not like they had access to the technologies we have today to keep in close touch. They didn't have email, they didn't have texts, they didn't have WhatsApp groups, right? How did they have this information to know Eov's in trouble? He needs us by their side, by his side. And so there are 2 ideas that the Gemara and Baba Basra gives, 2 possibilities. And when I tell it to you, you're going to think it sounds like a fantasy. It sounds like a fairy tale. Let me tell you what the Gemara says the friends had. That's how they knew that Eov was in trouble. And then we'll dig a little bit deeper and we'll see perhaps what's the message to us about these 2 ideas. So possibility number 1, Eov and his 3 friends had crowns upon which their faces were engraved. So let's say Eov has 3 crowns with, this crown, and he has Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofar's face engraved on that crown. And so the same thing with all the other friends. Now, if any of them fell into trouble or sorrow, the image of that person's face would sadden. Okay, so you'd see a frown, some creases in the forehead, maybe tears trickling down the eyes. That was a sign. So I suppose every friend's crown that had Eov's face on it, they saw Eov's face sadden. The 2nd possibility is that each of them had 3 trees. Each one of those trees represented one of the friends. So let's say Eov had a tree for Eliphaz, a tree for Bildad, and a tree for Tsofar. If any of those friends were in trouble, that tree's leaves would wilt, would wither, would fall off. And that was the sign that they knew they needed to go. Their friend needed them. So what does this mean for us? It sounds so fantastical. So let's start with the crown. What is the crown jewel of a human being? What makes us superior to all the other brios? We have something called chachma. Chachma is more than just IQ. Chachma is a reflection of our tzelem elokim or neshama. The fact that their friendship was rooted in chachma means that these were wise people. They were not tactless. They were sensitive and understanding. That's a really important facet in a relationship. We want people in our lives who we're friends with who have that depth. And so if that's the foundation of your relationship and it's not superficial and it's not like, you know, based on like, you know, superfluous or external factors, that's a deep bond. And so even if you're geographically separated, you can intuit when your friend needs you because you have that chachma. And by the way, there are stories in our lifetime, and maybe you've experienced it. I just heard a story recently where somebody was going through something and a friend from many years back who they had not been in touch with in a while, all out of the blue, calls them up. And this person says to their friend, they said, "How did you know? How did you know that I needed you?" And that's the similar idea with the trees. Trees represent strength and depth. The relationship between Eov and his friends were deep, was strong, and not just strong, but it gave them strength. The Gemara adds something to the previous chazal I shared with you of O Chavrusa, O Misusa. And the Gemara says, O Chavra kechavra de Eov, O Misusa. Give us friends like Eov's friends or give us death. Because we don't want just any friends. We want high quality friendship. There's a sweet poem I'll share with you. You can Google it and find it. I remember hearing it as a little girl. So here's how the poem goes. The old man turned to me and asked, "How many friends have you?" "Why, 10 or 20 friends have I," and named off just a few. He rose quite slow with effort and sadly shook his head. "A lucky child you are to have so many friends," he said. "But think of what you're saying. There is much you do not know. A friend is just not someone to whom you say hello. A friend is a tender shoulder on which to softly cry, as well as to pour your troubles down and raise your spirits high. A friend is a hand to pull you up from darkness and despair when all your other so-called friends have helped to put you there. A true friend is an ally who can't be moved or bought, a voice to keep your name alive when others have forgot. But most of all, a friend is a heart, a strong and sturdy wall, for from the hearts of friends there comes the greatest love of all. So think of what I've spoken, for every word is true, and answer once again, my child, how many friends have you?" And then he stood and faced me, awaiting my reply. Softly I answered, "If lucky, one have I." I don't think anyone makes the mistake today that just because a person has 100 friends on Facebook or many followers on their Instagram account or many different group chats, right, that this is somehow a sign of friendship. Friendship, quality friendship, that's hopefully once in a lifetime. And we know that this is something that Hashem says He wants for us. Vayomer Hashem Elokiv lo tov hayos ha'adam levado, it says in Bereishis. Hashem says it's not good for a human being to be by their lone self. Tov mashnai min ha'achad, Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, two are better than one. And so the Rambam talks about different levels of friendship, and it's okay if we have different types of friends, and you know the relationship is based on different factors. But let's focus on like what we aspire to achieve in a friendship, the highest form. So the Rambam says, you know, many of our relationships are based on, you know, shared experiences. We've had similar, you know, things that we've gone through. We met in high school. We went to seminary together. We're in similar stages in life. We work together. But he said they're like different gradations of friends. And he takes this from actually something we say by Sheva Brachos, because you'll find that in much of the Chazal, whenever it talks about a chaver, like k'nei l'cha chaver, or when Rabbi Yoshua answers Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who wanted to know about the, you know, the Derech Tova Sheid Bakba Ha'adam, Rabbi Yoshua said, Chaver Tov. A lot of the Mefarshim, they say Chaver Tov can refer to a spouse. How many people say they've married, or that's their dream, to marry their best friend? So many times when we talk about a Chaver, it could refer to a spouse, but it doesn't have to be. And of course, you know, this friend could be a sibling, could be a cousin, we could be related to them, but it doesn't have to be. So again, back in the Bracha of Sheva Brachos, we say Ava v'Achva v'Shalom v'Reyos, and this is an ascending order where it goes love, brotherhood, harmony, and then Reyos is like the top notch, friendship. So what's the top notch? The Rambam explains the highest level of friendship is when you can be vulnerable, when you can be real with the other person. You feel safe. You feel there's a degree of trust. This person has my best interests in mind, and I can, quote unquote, let my hair down. And so think about in your own life about who you would consider to be in that category. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it is a best friend. Or maybe we have yet to meet such a person that we can be so real with. And you actually find it from the Shorish of Reyos. I want to share with you three ideas of what Reyos is similar to. So Reyos looks a lot like Ra, which is ironic because Ra means bad. But the idea is we can be bad, so to speak, to a really good friend, not just a yes man, a yes dear. You know, we can point out when we need to have, you know, point certain things out to. It's not the foundation of our relationship is criticism and, you know, pointing out the flaws of the other person, heaven forbid. But it just shows like that's a sign of a real friendship when you can be real. Rav Huttner says Reya is like Trua for a similar idea. Trua is the sound of the shofar where it's like broken up. It's the shorter blast. It's the two-two-two-two-two blast. So that's a true friend, somebody who at times can break us apart, give us constructive criticism. And in a similar regard, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch says that Reya is like the word parua. You find it in the Chumash in Tanakh, the Shorish of Pei Resh Ayin, and it means to be opened because that's a sign of a real friendship that you can be open and bad and break up, you know, the other person. And let me share with you two stories to kind of illustrate this idea. The first I heard from Rabbi Schwab many times, many of my years in high school. So maybe you as alumna remember Rabbi Schwab sharing this with you. But Rabbi Schwab's grandfather, Rav Yehuda Leib Schwab, he had, you know, other close friends. And there was one friend in this group who did a very shameful act, a really terrible sin. And so Rav Yehuda Leib Schwab and two of the other close friends in this group, they bought this man a one-way ocean liner ticket to America. And they said to him, start over. Go to the United States of America. You know, they were living in Germany at the time and just begin again. And that's exactly what he did. And Rav Shimon Schwab, Rav Schwab's father, said when he came to America, he met this, you know, person's family and they were, you know, fine Jews. But that's a sign of a real friend, not somebody who glosses over and turns a blind eye and pretends it doesn't happen. The relationship is so safe and secure that you don't have to be embarrassed in front of one another. And you can, you know, have full confidence that this person's not going to betray your confidence. The Medrash Shmuel says that's a sign of friendship, loyalty, that you don't betray someone's confidence. So the other story comes from Bereishis. Do you remember the story of Yehuda and Tamar? So if you recall, Yehuda had a relationship with what he assumed was a Zonon. He was supposed to pay her two kid goats, but he didn't have them on him at the time. And he says to Chira Re'ehu, that's how the Torah refers to his friend, Chira. Chira Re'ehu, he had the status of Reyos. Why? Because can you imagine the scene? Yehuda says, hey, Chira, I had this relationship with this woman, I think was a Zona. And yeah, she's at this fork of the road. This is the intersection. Do you mind like giving her these two goats for me? Like, can you imagine Yehuda saying that to somebody else? But that's the sign of a real friend, where a person can be so open and so real with the other person. In Pirkei Avos, when it says, Kinei lecha chaver, why such a lashon? Why kinei? And the answer is because true friends are not easy to come by. To get to this status, right, of what Reyos is, like, that's something that has to be acquired. We pay for friendship, not through bribes, no, but through an investment of time and effort and emotions. Think about the friends that we've lost, friendship that has dissipated over the years because we have not given the time, we have not put forth the effort, we have not made it a priority in our lives, we haven't gotten emotionally involved. Our friends that we choose, they say a lot about who we are, and they for sure say about who we'll be. Let me explain. We'll start with who we are. In the days of Chiya HaGadol, Azarzer came to Eretz Yisrael. This was a bird that the Chachamim were not familiar with, and so they came to Chiya HaGadol. They said, is it kosher? Is it treif? And he said, let's see who its friends are. Let's see who he hangs out with. And that Zarzir perched himself on a roof together with an Orev Mitzri, an Egyptian raven. And Reb Chiya said, aha, it's treif. Because it says in the Torah, Kol Orev Leminehu, it's not just ravens that are treif, but anybody according to its type. And so the Gemara in Bava Kama says, Lo lechinam halach zarzer etzala orev ela mipnei shehumi no. It was not a coincidence that the zarzer would befriend the orev. It reflected something in it, the fact that it chose the orev as a friend. And so, im derech ish nistara habedu re'eim miyosa chevra, if you don't know who a person is, they're new to town, they're new to a workplace, a school, see who they kind of bond with, and that's a reflection who the person is. And I want to clarify this point. This is not to say that our friends mirror us. I did have a student who told me that somebody once met she and all her friends, and the person said to them, they said, you all look alike. So I guess it is possible, you know, that our friends do look like us and mirror us, but many of you are like shaking your head and being like, no, like my friends are the polar opposite of me. We have different interests and different personalities. But even though that may be very much true, there's still a reason why you chose that person as your friend. It still reflects something about you. If you're you identify as an introvert and your best friend is an extrovert, it doesn't mean that you're an extrovert, but it means that you value that in another person. So whenever we have new girls in Beis Yaakov, Denver, I kind of get to know who they are in those initial first weeks of school by seeing who they gravitate towards. And recently, we had a new girl, and she gravitated towards one of our best kids. From Adel, respectful, just a wonderful human being. And I didn't know this other kid from Beans, but I said to myself, you know, this reflects something about her. This is what she wants for herself. So that's who we are. What does it mean that our friends show us? They tell us who we'll be. So I heard this from one of you, you're an alumna. I won't embarrass you. I won't say your name, but you told me, you quoted your father, and he said, you want to know who you're going to be in 10 years from now? Look at your friends. And this is so hashkafically sound. We know the influence. We think about Korach ve'Idaso. Who were Idaso? They were his neighbors. I was just having a discussion with Mrs. Malamed about a certain student. And Mrs. Malamed was saying to me, you know, if this kid lived in a different part of town, you know, would she be a different person? I know a lady in my community once mentioned that she has so many, her family, all aspects of Yiddishkeit, Hasidim, Mizrahi, Yeshivish. And she said, if they would have grown up in this community, in this city, in that country, right, they might ended up of being different people because, again, of the influence of our peers. The Slonima Rebbe writes that three things influence our character: family, habits, and friends. The Rambam says the way of a person is to be drawn after the ways of his peer group. So if we know who we're going to be, we're going to just look around at our friends. We know from the Chumash and from the Navi how it's not an anomaly to talk about tzaddikim and gedolim and their friends, that there is a role of friendship when we talk about tzaddikim. I think about Avraham and his relationship with Malki Tzedek, and it kind of shows you the role of a friend. Malki Tzedek was Kohen Lekel Elyon. He was all about Avodas Hashem. And Avraham was mostly about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. He was the pillar of Chesed, Hachnosas Orchim. And when the two tzaddikim met for the first time, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalim Hotzi Lechem V'Yayin, he gave bread and wine to Avraham to say, Avraham, I heard so much about you. I'm so excited to meet you and become your friend. And I'm going to learn from your Hachnosas Orchim, giving bread and wine to people. I'm gonna try to be Mechazik, that element of my Yiddishkeit, my Avodas Hashem. And then Avraham as well, he says to Malki Tzedek, he says, and I'm going to try to be Mechazik, my Bein Adam L'Makom, like you as a Kohen. So Avraham's relationship with Malki Tzedek, who is really Shem Ben Noach, teaches us that, you know, maybe our friends should compliment us and help us grow, and we learn from one another. The Gemara in Tanis says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, harbe lamadati me rabosai, ume chavarai yoser me rabosai, ume talmide yoser mi kulan. So you learn the least from people like me. You learn the least from teachers. You learn the most from students. But middle ground, we learn from our friends. And we should learn from our friends. And we should choose friends who we can learn from. Avraham also had a relationship with Aner Eshkol and Mamre. And these were people he consulted with when he needed advice, hadracha, about nekudos of how to do bris milah. Hashem did not specify if it should be done publicly or privately. And it was Mamre who gave Avraham the advice, like, Hashem saved you from the malachim and from the ra'av and from the kivshon ha'ish. He'll save you from the bris milah too. And there's nothing, no part of Yiddishkeit that has to be glossed over, that has to be hidden from the, you know, public. Do the bris milah publicly. By the way, those factors spell out Mamre, malachim, milah, ra'av, and ish. That's why they're called Bali bris Avram. They gave him advice, and that's why only Mamre is actually called Hamori, because he told Avram to do that bris publicly. So we see that friends, good friends, they can give us advice, good advice, when we need some hadracha. And then, of course, I'd be remiss not to mention Yonasan and David, an ironic relationship there, because Yonasan and David should have been rivals. David is going to become the king instead of Yonasan, and Yonasan's father wants to kill David, but that's an Ava Sheina Tluya Badavar. And Rabbi Yochanan Zweig, he says, what does that mean? Like, how could a love not be dependent on anything? Like, when the two guys initially got together, like, there had to be something attracting these personalities to one another. And Rabbi Yochanan Zweig says, yes, that may be the initial steps of what made two people make a connection. But a sign of true love is that you get to a point in the relationship where you merge into a single entity. And even if you take away some external factors, the relationship thrives. Think about some of your high school friends and think about how you no longer are in high school together. And maybe you don't live in the same city, state, or even country. Maybe you're in different stages of life. Has the friendship endured? Because then that could be an Ava She'ina Tluya Badavar. I want to end with one last story. There were two friends, two boys, best friends in Israel during the Roman Empire, and then they moved. One remained in the Roman Empire, one moved in the Syrian Empire. Now, the one that was living in the Roman Empire visited the one living in the Syrian Empire, and he got falsely accused of being a spy, and he was sentenced to death. And he's about to be executed, and he makes a final request. He says, please, Emperor, Syrian Emperor, let me go back to Rome. My family doesn't know that I'm being executed. I never got to say my goodbyes. I never got to get my affairs in order. And the Syrian Emperor says, are you crazy? You think that I'm going to let you leave? I'll have no guarantee that you'll come back. And the boy living in the Roman Empire, he says, I have my best friend here in the Syrian Empire. He'll be my guarantor. He'll stay in jail until I return, and if I don't return, he'll take my place. And the Syrian emperor's like, this I gotta see. But the best friend says, of course I'll stand in place of my best friend. So the Jew living in the Roman Empire went back home, got his affairs in order, said many tearful goodbyes, and he's trying to make it back because he has 60 days, the dawn of the 60th day, to return. and they're waiting for the winds to be right so that the boat can sail, and he's cutting it very close. And when he finally arrives back in the Syrian Empire, it is mid-morning, and there are spectators at the public execution. His best friend is about to be beheaded, and the boy from the Roman Empire bursts into the arena, and he says, I'm back, kill me. And the boy living in the Syrian Empire, he says, no, sorry, it's past the due date. You know, it's mid-morning. It's not dawn of the 60th day. And he says, Syrian Emperor, kill me. And both boys are yelling at the Syrian Emperor, kill me, no, kill me. And the spectators are in an uproar. The Syrian Emperor silences them all. And he says, I will let both of you free on one condition, that you make me your third friend. In Kiddushim, when we're taught V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, the pasuk ends ani Hashem. Why? Because Hashem says, if you, my kinderlach, get along, you have unity and friendship that is so precious to me, I want to be your third friend. If we're united, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. If we're divided, Chas v'shalom, we're on our own. We want friends. We want to be good friends, but we want friends, high-quality ones, for the good times and the bad, and ultimately for our redemption, b'mheira v'yameinu.